Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Sometimes a show will just write itself, won't it? There were times we were both writers. Yes. You still write. When but a story you know that, just right. writes itself.
You don't have to do anything. That's what we used to call in the press box. Just write it. It's yep. right there. You don't have to do anything. Don't overthink
don't get
it.
Cute.
Yep. Don't get cute. Just write it.
Yeah, and today, that's what the case is with our show. As Magic Johnson went on ESPN's First Take with Stephen A. Smith,
that's
Molly Kierum, and Max Kellerman.
Right.
Great get. And just eviscerated Rob Pelinka.
Yep.
His former partner. Magic was the president. Rob Pelinka was the GM. And remember when Magic stepped down, what was it, a month and a half ago? He said that there had been some backstabbing and things like that going on within the organization. He didn't allude to who he was talking
about. Who was
doing
it, right.
You and I, Rob, we had both heard that. And it, we had heard and also just putting two and two together that it was beef between he and Rob Pelinka. And Magic confirmed it today. Here's a little bit of it.
People around the Laker office was telling me Rob was saying things. And
Rob Pelinka.
Rob Pelinka. And I didn't like those things being said behind my back, that I wasn't in the office enough and so on and on. So I started getting calls from my friends outside of basketball saying those things now were said to them outside of basketball. Now, not just in the Laker office anymore. Mm-hmm. Now it's in the media and so on.
And these are people you trust.
Exactly. And people got to remember something. Being in this business for over 40 years, I got allies, I got friends everywhere. What happened was I wasn't having fun coming to work anymore, especially when I got to work beside you, knowing that you want my position. And I'm okay with that because this is what happened, Stephen A. I told him in year two, I'm only going to be here 3 years. So my job is, Rob, to get you ready for this position.
Now, the interesting thing is this. And Rob Pelinka alluded to it today after the Lakers had a press conference to introduce Frank Vogel as their head coach. He said he just talked to Magic 2 days ago, said that what he heard Magic say was saddening and disheartening. Those are his exact words. And he thinks it's a misperception on Magic's part. I've talked to some people about this, too. They said Magic and Rob Pelinka are still in conversations. Brad Turner wrote a story in the LA Times today after Magic's comments, where Magic was quoted as saying he still talks to Rob and will continue to talk to Rob. But Magic put it all out there on the table on First Take. Rob, what are your, Rob Parker, what are your feelings about this?
I'm going to tell you, I'm pretty amazed. I've been in this business 33 years, Chris. I've seen a lot of stuff done. Magic can't talk from both sides of his mouth how much he loves the organization and how he wants to recruit to help them get another star for LeBron James when he did what he did today, which is essentially blow up the organization. That's what it was. It was pure betrayal, Chris Broussard. Magic betrayed the Lakers today to go out publicly. I'm not saying he can't get that same message out without going on television, naming Rob Pelinka by name. Here's the problem, Chris. Rob Pelinka already has a bad reputation in the league. For to put this out of Magic's mouth, that he was backstabbing and doing this other stuff, makes him almost irrelevant and hard to work and do anything for that organization. Whereas Magic said, he has other people out there who are Magic Johnson people who will look at Rob Pelinka and be like, I'm not talking to that guy. I'm not dealing with that guy. It's a bad thing. Magic came off, sadly, as a scorned lover. It looked like an episode from Love and Hip Hop. That's what that was today. It was embarrassing. And I'm going to tell you this. If I'm Jeannie Buss, I would personally get a stepladder and a blanket, and I would go out in front of Staples Center and cover up Magic Johnson's statue. I would do that right now. I would cover up his statue.
What?
Wow.
I'm telling you, and I'm going to tell you this.
Wait, are you, hold on. Is that hyperbole or are you serious?
I'm dead serious, and Magic Johnson is persona non grata and Laker land for right now. I'm not saying forever.
How long?
For right now. I don't know. For indefinitely.
You mean like James Harden was the best player in the world right now?
Right. Indefinitely.
The next 2 weeks?
Indefinitely until, you know, like they can get back together and make up. But I've seen this before.
Okay, hold on.
Let me give you my example because it happened before. Reggie Jackson was like a team advisor and coach spring training with the Yankees. He had a job. He went out and did an article, and he ripped A-Rod and a couple other players, you know, with the Yankees and the steroid stuff. And the Yankees said, dude, no. No more Yankee events. No more spring training. Nothing. Indefinitely, we don't want you around. Reggie Jackson, one of the greatest players who ever wore pinstripes. And they told him, don't come around. Now, they've made up. And time went by, and now Reggie's back in their good graces. But I'm telling you, Chris, what Magic did today was throw gasoline on the building and burn everybody inside of it. He should never, never have done that on television publicly. Whether you hate Rob Pelinka, whether it's all true, that's not how you handle it. I can't believe Magic. I can't think of another situation where somebody supposedly loves an organization and only wants to help it and want them to win, but does this to make this mess even worse and stop people from wanting to be involved with the Lakers. That's what he did.
Okay.
It was betrayal,
okay.
Chris.
Okay. All right. Let me address what you just said. I know you're proud of yourself. Look at you.
What?
I wish the listeners could see.
What?
Number one.
I'm just telling it like it is.
I got 3 points to make. I do agree with you that Magic definitely hurt the Lakers. Whether he purposely went out there to harm them or he didn't think it out and just was reacting emotionally or whatever. But this will not help them in free agency.
Not at all.
So when you say you want to help recruit them, this was the opposite. Because players are sophisticated today. And they're looking at the structure of the organization. And they want to know how well it's run. That's one of the strengths of the Clippers when it comes to free agency. Brooklyn will have that as well. And when they look at the Lakers, they're going to say, man, if you could betray Magic Johnson, the face of the
Thank
Lakers.
Thank you. How in the world can I go
you do
there?
With me? You could trade me in any moment. Okay,
and treat me like a rag doll.
Right. So I do agree with you there. However, and I want to make sure you're serious about the blanket.
I'm dead serious. I would take.
They're already run like a mom and pop store.
I would cover up that statue with
a blanket
over Magic Johnson.
On top of Magic Johnson's statue. You talk about looking bush league.
And you know what I would do?
It
would be a wet blanket. That's what I would do. Put a wet blanket over
there. First of all, there is no way because, Rob, that would backfire on you. Number one, it would look bush league.
No.
It would look mom and pop. Number two, Magic Johnson is a legend, and players and others would look at it like, okay, maybe he misspoke. Maybe he was out of turn, but this is Magic Johnson, the greatest Laker of all time. You don't do that to him.
I would revoke his pass. I wouldn't let him come into the building.
That is
I would stop him.
Crazy.
I'm telling you. For right now, indefinitely, I would do a New York Yankees Reggie Jackson job.
Unless you're right now means 30 minutes?
No, I don't mean 30 minutes.
I'm not with it.
Maybe next season. We don't want you around, Magic. Don't show up.
And here's
the final. You're so busy doing everything else. Go ahead and run your coffee shops and bowling alleys and movie theaters. We don't want you here. Go hang out with the Dodgers.
Stop it right now. That is Magic Johnson. You do not do that. And don't act like the Lakers. Who are they to get on a high horse? Jeannie Buss, they still, to your point, they have not talked yet. We still have not heard from Jeannie Buss.
I agree that they haven't done the right thing.
They cut off today's press conference prematurely because they didn't want to address these things. So, no, the Lakers can't get on their high horse, whether Magic was wrong or not. Third thing, as great as Reggie Jackson was, and he was great, He is not, and you know this.
Oh,
he is not Magic Johnson.
Oh, he's as big as Magic
Reggie
Johnson.
Reggie Jackson, no, he's Reggie, not.
Yes, he is.
He is not.
Mr. October.
He is not one of the top five. He is not one of the top five baseball players in history.
Yes, he is.
He
as
is,
far as,
what?
As far as stature, not all just
there
by
is
stats.
No way.
Mr. October
was
is he what he's about.
Was he one of the about. Best five baseball players in history?
How many guys?
Are you serious? You really going to sit here and say that?
Yes, I'm talking
he's
about.
He's not even one of the best five Yankees in history.
I'm talking about when you talk about the flair he had, what he meant to fans.
Oh, he was great.
And nobody has that name. You know what October's about? October's about World Series, and no other player was named Mr. October
it's
but Reggie
nickname,
Jackson.
It's a nickname, man. Stop it.
No, but that nickname stuck because that's how big he was in October.
Look, I'm
Reggie
not
Jackson
trying
is
to
a great...
belittle Reggie Jackson.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not. He's a Hall of Famer. He was great.
He had three home
but
runs on three pitches in the World Series.
But you're going to tell me he was Magic Johnson? Stop it. There is no way he was Magic Johnson.
He was better in the big moments.
You killing your point.
No, go ahead.
No, he wasn't better in the big moments. So don't bring up Reggie Jackson and Magic Johnson. And
if the Yankees could ban Reggie Jackson, Magic can be banned.
If Magic came out and criticized LeBron James and the whole team and said they were cheating and so on and so forth, that might be one thing. He didn't go that far.
But he hurt
Reggie
the organization.
Reggie Jackson went that far with A-Rod and steroids and all that. That's different. So, no, you can't compare. What Magic did, it definitely hurt the Lakers today. But you're tripping. Put a blanket over his statue?
A wet blanket.
If you, if you said remove it and put it in the back for a few weeks, that would make more sense. I still wouldn't agree with that. But that would make more sense than going out there and throwing some cheap old blanket. They already look like the freaking CVS compared to, you know, American Express or something, some giant corporation.
Hey,
and now you want them to look even worse?
Our producer, Rob G, is one of the biggest Laker fans. Rob G agrees with me.
Do you agree with that,
he
Rob
G? He agrees, Rob G.
Oh, yeah.
A blanket over Magic Johnson.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Nobody is
that?
Bigger than the brand.
Would you
Thank
say
you.
That?
Nobody.
Hold on.
Nobody.
Let me test you. Would you say that about Kobe Bryant ever?
If Kobe did what Magic Johnson did today, hell yeah, I would.
Oh, stop it. Stop it. See?
I bet you
pop.
I bet you when we talk to people, they're going to be on my side on this because
let's see.
What he
a
did
blanket.
Was ridiculous. And I get it. Rob Pelinka shouldn't be there. When Magic tried to fire him and
Luke
Walton.
He didn't try to fire him. He didn't say he didn't try to fire him.
I don't believe that totally. Because otherwise it sounds like sour grapes that he couldn't get him fired, and that's why he's hitting on him. You know what I mean? Banging him over the
right.
head today. I believe
right.
he did.
Your turn to weigh in. My goodness. A blanket. A wet blanket at that.
A wet blanket.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Speaking of Kevin Durant, I said on Friday, and I guess it's gone viral. I said it on Fox Sports Radio here on this show with Jonas Knox filling in for Rob Parker. That
so
KD's,
finally you say something that goes viral. Is that it?
Now, I've said a few things
okay.
that have gone viral.
But I wasn't
stop
here.
Trying to hate the Habote. The Habote. See? I said that the Golden State Warriors winning the championship without Kevin Durant is his worst nightmare coming to pass. And I'm not saying they're better without KD. I think it's a legitimate question. And I think it's one that is in the process of being answered, yay or nay. We have to wait and see, can they beat Milwaukee or Toronto without Kevin Durant? But anyone who says, oh, it's not even a question. No, come on. All the numbers are in favor of them being better without Kevin Durant. They score more points. They win by a higher margin. In the playoffs, in these playoffs, they were winning by 4 points a game with Kevin Durant. They're winning by 10 points a game now without him. Their shooting percentage is higher. Their three-point shooting percentage is higher. They're scoring more points per game. And remember, they went 7-4 with KD in the first and part of the second round. Theoretically, at least, they have faced stronger teams late in the second round, still Houston, and in the conference finals. Supposedly, the deeper you go, the more difficult it's supposed to be. So against more difficult opposition, they've gone 5-0 or 4-0 without KD.
Only problem I have is in the finals, it's not even close, the difference. And that's where we'll see how
what's
great.
What's not close?
How, the Warriors were 7-6 without KD in the finals and 8-1 with KD.
I'm just going to
wait and see.
Okay. No, that's
because,
fair.
Because I'm,
and
just saying,
I'm not saying they're better without
him. No, I'm not. I'm just saying, if Steph can pull this off, it changes the narrative for me. If Steph can't pull it off, his narrative to me, it remains what I've been saying, which is we'll wait.
It'll never be the Gemote.
What?
The greatest mirage of all time. That's ridiculous.
If he loses, if they lose in the finals, you're going to tell Steph.
Is he the only player that will have lost in the finals? The only all-time great?
It'll be on Steph. I'm just telling, it'll be on him.
It'll be on the team. But no,
I don't want to get sidetracked.
That's fair.
I don't want to get sidetracked.
But to say he's a mirage still won't be fair.
He's
a mirage. I don't care if they get swept in the finals. That's ridiculous. The dude is awesome. But anyway, back to KD. And let me say this final thing, Rob. On that note, they don't have to be better without KD. They just have to still be the best team in the world without KD. And I call this his worst nightmare coming through, because for 3 years, Kevin Durant has heard people belittle him for going to the Warriors. His own GM, Bob Myers, at the parade last year, joked about, well, Steph's been here since way, way back, and KD just got here. It was a joke, but we know how sensitive KD is.
He's
probably bothered him.
Most sensitive of all time.
Walt Clyde Frazier, another top 50 player of all time, said there's an asterisk in his mind next to KD's greatness. His own teammate, Draymond Green, went off on him in November and said, we don't need you, leave. And I've talked to players. We had Enes Kanter, his former teammate, who knows, as everybody does, how great KD is. He said on this very show that around the league, most players look a little side-eyed at those championships, as great as KD is.
But I don't buy into that from this standpoint.
I'm just telling you. You know
I'm
he said
telling,
it.
I'm
were,
not saying that,
you
but
were
I'm just
here
saying
for the interview.
I don't buy into people telling him if he won, came on the team and didn't do anything, and they won the championships, and Steph was the MVP, and he was a role, he would basically became a Chris Bosh. Then maybe I could buy.
I could buy into that. Okay, that's fair.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, because Bosh isn't KD.
Okay, but this guy went and won the MVP in the finals. They swept LeBron. They beat him. They beat him twice, 4-1. Very easy piece of cake. I just can't look at people and take them seriously when they act like KD didn't do anything or just showed up.
No, but what
and,
they're
and hitched
saying,
their
right,
wagon to no, I get it.
What do you get what?
I get that about joining a team that had already won and all that. But I'm just saying, to act like he didn't do anything is misguided and uninformed. That's all I'm saying.
He is clearly their best
player. Okay, that's all I'm telling
you. I haven't heard anybody say he's not their best player. And he was the legitimate finals MVP
No doubt.
And Steph was great, too. So that's where – see, you go overboard,
but
though.
But he wasn't great enough.
He was great enough. They won the two championships.
Yeah, but Steph wasn't great enough.
He was great enough. See, I can't get – don't. I'm giving – see, I'm objective on this show.
I'm objective.
You're not. If you
what
say
you
Steph,
about?
When he averaged 28-9-8, and that wasn't great enough?
If I disagree with you, I'm not objective.
No, you're not looking at the facts.
I am.
You
that's
gonna
all
tell
I know.
Me, Rob G, get Steph's
I'm
numbers.
I'm a newspaper
get
reporter. Look at my history.
From 2017, you're not objective with Tom Brady.
I went to Columbia Journalism School.
I don't care if you went to, if you created journalism. All right? Get Steph's numbers from the 2017 finals. It was almost a triple-double on 49% shooting.
Woulda, coulda, shoulda.
And that wasn't great.
And you know what? Despite what he did, nobody voted for him at finals
that's
MVP.
That's fine. He was great. Kevin Durant was greater. I have no problem saying that. But to sit here and act like Kevin Durant was the only player great, he averaged 27-8-9. Come on, man.
How many turnovers? How many guys did he defend?
That don't matter. I mean, so anyway, I said, here's the thing with KD. For all those people who diminished him or who belittled him, who crushed him, including you, for going to a championship team that won 73 games
the
next year, this team winning the championship without him will validate in those people's minds. I won't diminish him. And when, it does diminish it a little.
And if he
because you need to be needed.
And if he
this
loses,
would say you're not needed.
If they lose, then what would that do to him? Say Steph already gets to the finals and they lose.
It shows that he led a team to two championships, a great team to two championships.
Because I think that's going to be the narrative after they lose the final.
It'll. That's the thing. If they lose without him, it will boost his two championships.
And it'll
Let me qualify this. He is a champion.
No, I get it.
Okay, this is not to say, he is a champion.
I'm not thinking
those
that you're trying to do that.
Are legitimate.
I got that.
But if they lose without him, it will lift those championships up, right? A little, they'll mean a little more. If they win without him, they'll mean a little less.
Because
is that fair?
That's fair because you'll look at it if they lose. Say they lose. You'll say Steph choked down the 3-1 that they were up, right? Steph was the leader.
But you,
I
might.
Would.
And I don't think it was choking.
He choked it down.
LeBron took it.
And then the other one that they won was when Kyrie and Love were hurt. I'm just saying.
No, right.
That's the way it could be.
They'll never be viewed as great without him.
Am I right?
Right. No question. That's
team
fair.
That started out where you thought after they won the 73, had they won, they were up 3-1. Ever since then,
they've had KD.
They've had KD, and it's gone well.
That's right.
But that's one of those things. I look at them now, and I don't think that you ever look at them as one of the greatest.
Well,
teams
if
ever.
They win it, you will, and
if
that's
lose,
what remains to be seen. Right. They're not going to lose. Trust.
Oh, you already know that.
They're going to win. But anyway, KD responded to me on Twitter. I called it worst nightmare. Of course, Rob G, what did he say on Twitter?
He replied, I see a little exaggeration there, buddy. My worst nightmare, you sure that this is the worst that it could get?
And that's true. Of course. There are things that could happen that are way worse. But it was a figure of speech. You know what I'm saying, Rob?
No, I get it.
It's a figure of speech. Of course. I mean, off the court, even on the court, there are worse things that could happen. You know, a serious career-threatening injury, a season-threatening
injury.
You know, so,
and it's hard to,
but it's a figure of speech.
It's hard to paint a picture for a guy who's making that kind of loot, already won two championships, two MVPs.
And came from humble beginnings.
Life is pretty good.
Right. So I get that. So he, literally speaking, he's right. But people know what I mean. As a basketball player, as an all-time great with legacy ramifications, this is a nightmare scenario if they win without him, with all the things that have gone on. So KD responded, and that's not the first. KD and I have gone back and forth on DMs and direct messages and all that stuff. When he doesn't like something I say,
he goes
back and forth. He liked the tweet too, right?
Can I say this though before you go there?
Yeah.
The reason, and I'm going to say this, and I'm with all seriousness, there was an editor at the Detroit News who once hit me up, called me up because somebody sent in a bad email about a column that I wrote. And so I was like, oh, okay. So he's talking to me, telling me about this email. And I said, oh, okay. I said, I wish I could take this seriously from you, but I can't. This means nothing coming from you because you've never called me when someone wrote something nice about me.
So you said that to the editor.
Right. For you to call me now because somebody sent something negative negates what you say. And I say the same thing about KD to you. Has KD ever hit you up with something positive that you said about him, Chris? That's why this means nothing. It can't be a one-way street. If he would have said to you, Chris, I saw you today. Your point was on point. Nobody's ever said that about me. I thought that was...
That's fair.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You can't just hit me up because you're not only negative about him, you said good things about him as well. For somebody not to give you compliments, you just can't take negative feedback.
Right. Hey, that's a good point.
I'm telling you out there in the world, if somebody doesn't have anything nice to say about you when you do something good, do not listen to their criticism. It's not a one-way street.
I hadn't thought about that.
That's seriously.
That's a great point. I hadn't thought about that.
He's never done that.
Right.
And that negates it.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. And I have no problem with players coming at us. Because, look, that's what we do. We are...
I've been screamed at in locker rooms and everything.
Right.
I've known that.
I have no problem with a player clapping back. You know, and I don't think KD should be clapping back at random fans who might have 100 followers, but I have no problem with him clapping back at the media because he feels like that's what we do with him. That's fine. So this is no problem. But your point is good.
Seriously.
If he would come at me with, like you said, with some positive things too.
Once in a while.
It would resonate a little more.
Because it's a given,
it's a give and take. Right, right.
This is just like you isolated, you pick something out you didn't like and whatever. I've told guys that before. I said, and when I told my editor that, oh no, I don't mean it like that. I said, no, you do mean it like that. Because you can't tell me, I've been here 9 years. Nobody's ever sent you a nice about my column, so how come you've never called me on that? Because you don't have an answer.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
Damian Lillard, I was so high.
I know
on Damian Lillard, and look, he's still a great player, perennial all-star, and all that. But I felt like after he demolished the great Russell Westbrook in round one, including the 37-footer heard around the world. And he was so cool, calm, and collected after that. I felt, Rob, like he had gone to that next level. Like he had gone to that,
you don't
maybe
feel that way
the
now.
James Harden level, you know. No, I don't. Because he has struggled not only against Golden State in this round, but even against Denver in the last round, his last 10 games, since he waved goodbye.
He's been goodbye, his
right,
stats.
He's gone goodbye to the Thunder. He has shot 38%, 30 from the field, 31% from three. He's got 64 assists in those 10 games, but 34 turnovers, a plus minus of negative 41. Now, you might say, well, yeah, they're losing 3-0 to the Warriors, but this includes
minus 64,
the series
actually
with Denver as well.
Minus 64. Yeah,
okay,
Rob G made a mistake
64
on that. That's how bad it is. It's worse.
And then here's the thing. In this series, these three games, he has 14 turnovers and only 15 field goals. 15 made
That's
shots.
That's as bad as it
14
gets.
14 turnovers.
Right.
So, and Kalina Azubuike made a great point. Because when you watch, obviously Golden State's double-teaming him and taking the ball out of his hands. But teams do that to Steph Curry all the time. And he obviously is still very effective. The difference, though, is that Dame gives it up late. So rather than giving up to your teammate in a position where he's going to be an aggressor, make a
be
move,
able to do something.
You're really giving it up to a teammate as he's bailing you out. Now
right.
He's like coming to
it's,
get it because
right.
Bailing you out. And then they don't move without the ball, he and CJ. So that makes it easier. Once you get the ball out of their hands, they're done. Whereas with Steph, you get the ball out of his hands, but he's moving so much he can go get it somewhere else. So this has really been eye-opening to me. Lillard kind of struggling like this.
Yeah, I mean, I thought people were quick, and I get it. He had that series breakout. Everybody thought, well, this is it. He's moved past yep. Ross, all the narrative and all that. And he hadn't lived up to it. And I'm not saying he had to score 50 points a night.
Right.
But he got
but
bailed out by
bad.
CJ
yep.
at the end. He played terrible in 6 and 7, right? In the two last.
Some of this reminds me of Chris Paul, some of the struggles he's had late in the playoffs. You know, and he's obviously an all-time great, but still, when you don't get it done in the biggest moments, it does come back to haunt you. All right.